Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's about the team. Yeah, I don't care. I don't care how it looks. It's kind of my game, and I think that's something that people have to accept, that, you know, it's going to look how Jalen Hurts wants it to look, you know, but he's going to win.
You heard him talking in the third person.
I heard him. It's going to look how Jalen Hurts.
That man.
Should we get more Hugh Douglas in the third person?
What it looks like, yes. It's going to be what it be. I be where I be, and I'm at where I'm at.
Well, it does look like he wants it to look. And one thing that you point out a lot that's totally true is most of the time it leads to wins. That is the absolute truth.
This is a bottom line business, man.
Yes.
And, you know, we all sit here and we talk about, well, if the coach says to do this, that, and the third, then you do it that way. I remember being a meeting man, and Jim Johnson was putting in a defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I kept messing it up, right? I kept messing up every week. And Jim got to the point where he changed the defense to what I did. And I remember, I'll never get it.
I guess you can't screw it up if it's the play,
if
right?
It's the play. And Brandon said, we're running like that because Fire 3 keep effing it up. And I was like, hey. And that's just how it is. Jalen, like, this is the thing you have to understand. Whether you like it or not, Jalen's the paterfamilias. He's playing at the top of the game. He's winning games. It's an ugly win, but they're wins nonetheless. And if you talk to any GM in the league, they'll rather have that than nothing. That's where he is. Until he stops winning games, then that's when it's going to change.
So I understand that. And I'm fine. I mean, again, if they win and they're scoring points, I don't care if they're under center, shotgun, pistol, the wildcat. Like I don't get all bent out of shape out of formations. I mean, that's just the way you're lining up. But it has to work, and you have to score points. And they haven't scored a ton of points this year offensively. I mean, that happens.
This is true.
So I look at it like this. Yet maybe, and we're starting to hear more and more, that Jalen really has never been and isn't comfortable under center. He likes shotgun more. He likes the pistol more. Okay, we've all watched it for 5 years, and I'm cool with that. But there is now a game I just watched. We all saw it.
New evidence.
20 snaps under center on Sunday. Under center play action, 4 for 4, 121 yards and a touchdown. So now I have that information. I can't unsee what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the coaches and we're putting the game plan in this week, I'm saying, Jalen, like, this worked. We should incorporate that again. I'm not saying they have to do with their whole offense. I'm not saying that's what they become now. But forget what everyone wants. Wouldn't it be foolish to not go back to that if it worked?
If it worked, but if it made you uncomfortable. I'm with you, Joe. I'm workshopping this,
yeah.
So don't get mad.
I'm about to.
Don't get mad.
Because that seemed like a simple yes.
Yeah, it
would
is,
be foolish not to go
not,
back to
it's
it.
It's a simple yes for me and you because that's the way we're wired.
Yeah.
That's the way you're wired for the path of least resistance. We're wired to try to do what's successful.
Yes.
I think Jalen's wired to do what makes him comfortable.
Well, then I have a problem with that.
And to be fair to him, up until this point, he has been very, very successful. So in his mind, playing devil's advocate here, why am I listening to you? And the way that I've been doing it my whole life has worked extremely well for me. I've been to two Super Bowls since then, since I've been doing it my way for the most part.
Mm.
I won one. I'm the Super Bowl MVP. I brought a Lombardi back to Philadelphia.
A lot of eyes
after
there.
After all you haters were hating on me.
No eye and team. A lot of eyes.
Listen, when me and you sit here, I understand wholeheartedly where you're coming from. But in that locker room, it don't work like that. Now, some players might feel like he's not that dude, but he's the trigger puller. He's the guy that makes it work. He's the dude that has Jeffrey Lurie's number on speed dial. Ain't nobody else got that. He has Jeffrey Lurie's ear, and as long as he keeps winning, he can do it however which way he wants to do it. Because the bottom line is this. As long as Jalen Hurts is happy and the Philadelphia Eagles are winning, that's all that matters.
That's true. That is.
That's what I'm saying. I just brought you the truth. It ain't got to be right. It's hard, but it's fair.
Yeah. But how about this, though? I mean, I know this. We're going to do a pregame show on Sunday.
Yes.
70,000 people are going to walk by us.
70,000 of them things.
And every single one of the 70,000 are going to say, hey, that worked last week. I want to see more of it. We overcomplicate things sometimes. It worked. Based on the way the NFL works, we see it every week. I mean, Mac Jones has been successful. I mean, coaches have made average quarterbacks look good or really good because of play action helping them look good. So why would we not use it when we have what we all consider an above average quarterback?
It would just
make them great.
It makes you think.
It makes you think.
I don't think anyone would disagree. They would like to see the Eagles. Like, if we put a poll up, do you want to see the Eagles go under center more? It'd be like 100%.
Yes.
I'll tell you what. Put that. If you say, what would you rather have? The Eagles be on the center or win the football game?
But hold on, that's
what we're talking about.
But if the plays are successful, you'll be more likely to win the game then.
Yeah. No, I mean, I hear Joe. I'm not arguing that.
I know.
I'm just really playing devil's advocate. And like I said, it's a bottom line business.
Well,
and if he's winning, that's all that matters.
But I guess my point is it can't be that obvious to us and not the coaches, right?
No matter how
incompetent you think these people are. I got news for you. They're not. And clearly they know things we don't know. I'm just connecting dots here. That's all.
I know.
Just
connecting dots. I'm ready to erase all the dots and say, get under center.
I agree. But how can we expect it? I just don't know how you can expect it.
Okay. This is my reasoning. They just had their best. I said on Monday was the best passing game of his career, with that being part of it. So to me, it's easier for them this week to present it to him like, hey, this worked. We need to do more of this.
Yeah,
and if he pushes back or they don't do it, then shame on all of them.
Well, I agree. But now I'm thinking again about the cut we played at Chris Sims where he said, this is why you hear all the tap dancing, the words, words, words.
Yeah.
Like, when I hear players and everyone asked about being under center, it sounds to me like they don't
Chris
know
Sims
how to answer.
So that was Chris Sims?
An hour ago, we played Chris from last week, and then we also played Baldy from a couple days ago. Do you have another one of those players talking about under center?
Yeah, Mailata, yeah.
Jordan Mailata from his show, the Jordan Mailata Show on Monday here on WIP. Here's Mailata being asked about the same thing.
If it's this simple, is this something you guys had to work on in practice the first six games? Did you not do it in training camp? What do you think took so long to get to just going under center?
I don't know. I honestly don't know what took so long. I don't know how to answer.
Really, it's not like something you've added to the playbook over the past month.
Yeah.
Like, it's always been in there.
It's always been in there. I think we were trying to, fit a square inside a circle hole,
For the first 6 weeks, you're saying?
For the first 6 weeks, and I think that little mini bye helped us a lot, and the coaches did. Kind of just like the Browns week, bye week last year.
Yeah.
That little mini bye that we had after the game, that really helped us.
All right, so I actually, the end changed my mind than what I thought in the beginning. I mean, the beginning, you kind of...
He was a little coy.
Talking around, a little dodgy. But he referenced the Browns week last year, right? The bye week.
He found that.
Well, they came, they were different from then on.
Yeah.
I mean, that gives me hope that they're going to do more under center. Like, last week was the change. That was the beginning of the new. Because last year at this time, they changed their offense. They went from a pass team to a run team. And they kept going with that the rest of the season. The end actually gave me more hope. He correlated it to that little break, gave us a chance to reset. We reset.
Yeah.
Now let's do it more.
That's good. It did sound like he was choking on
his words.
On what the reality is and why they didn't do under center for the first time.
I heard it too.
Like conspiracy cow. Like,
well, it's hard not to have it.
Shout out to ESP, too, though, for being that doggy reporter that we need.
It was a good question.
Man, I tell you,
ESP. Why haven't you done this? It looks easy.
I'm trying to tell y'all after a while, ESP going to stop calling us, man. He about to blow up. He about to start doing, like, national hits.
I knew him before he even got the VIP.
I'm just saying, dog. I just feel it. I just feel it in my spirit. Well, you know, he dressed way better than we do. You know
he
what I mean?
Does. Well, that didn't say much about me or you. I mean, we wear hoodies every day, so we're not exactly dressed.
I'm just saying. Yeah. That was a good question.
Yeah.
And Jordan, I'm going to see, man, he was squirming a little bit.
You could feel it. You could feel it. You could. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream team, how y'all doing?
What's up, Will?
Man, come on, man. You know Jalen do whatever it takes to win, man. And you see how he executed them plays, man. He's been ready for them plays.
Well, to be fair, Will, hold on. Like, okay. if he doesn't, it feels like that he doesn't feel comfortable doing play action under center stuff. And they did it a little bit last week for the first time in a long time. I mean, like, if he doesn't like it, but it works, he's got to start doing it more. Like, if that's what's best for the team.
You know what? And I'm gonna agree with you with that. He didn't like it, but he loves it now. And that's going to be our new identity.
I'm good. I'm in. Let's do it. Okay, let's do it.
I'm going to love it.
This is what I want to say, man. Like, I really believe, like, this is going to open the game up. Because, like I said, we've been doing that same formation since Jalen started. So now they got to do something different. And now, why we had so much success? Because they saw different formations. They saw different plays. They wasn't used to that same one-dimensional formation, right? Mm-hmm. Now, this is my thing. Y'all keep laughing at me, right, when I say this our formation.
Oh, yeah.
And I guarantee you, they're going to run it Sunday. And watch how much success they have with it.
I formation?
Because, one thing I know about Jalen, I said this about Jalen. I want to say something about Embiid real quick, too.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Jalen, in order for you to achieve greatness, this is what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to go under helm. You're going to have to do things to make you uncomfortable, to make you great. And that's what he's doing. And what I want to say about Embiid, man, either you get down or you sit down, man.
Listen, I like that. I like
okay,
that.
Beanie, okay,
I like
Beanie
that.
Sitting. Okay, stay property.
These young Thundercats, they playing, they hungry, they want to win. And guess what, man? Mm-mm. You slowing down the progress, man. The process, man, because – and B, you could be great. You got trained by the best in the league, Olajuwon. Trained you, gave you the footwork, the shots, the inside moves, all that. It's time for you to use it because guess what? We don't need no other outside shooters. We got them now. Now we need you to get down in that paint and dominate. That's how God made you, to dominate in the paint, baby. So that's what we need you to do. Go down there and ask for the ball, get fed the ball, and become that champion center that everybody in Philadelphia know you can be. Because if not, guess what, man? You'll be watching a lot of games on that bench, whether we waste the money on you or not. Because we're going to build a team around, what's the name, Maxi and the new young Thundercats, man. So either get down or sit down, baby. And we want you to get down. Because, listen, you long overdue for a championship, and you long overdue to start leading, baby. That's all I got.
Well, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, like, he can lead as a role player. Let's calm down with the Embiid leading. They'll be led by Maxi and Edgecombe and McCain when he gets back. OG Wade up on WIP. Hey, OG.
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, OG. What's up,
man?
Let me say this. I want to, because if you tell a lie long enough, people will start believing the lie. So let me debunk what Chris Sims said. Now, Chris Sims has been a longtime hater of Jalen Hurts. He started out by putting him at 43rd best quarterback, okay? Once Jalen showed everyone or showed him somewhat that he can play the position, now we're going to attack his credibility, okay? We all know Jalen to not be a liar, to not be a uncoachable player. He's a coach's son. He's been coachable since he's been here. So there was a statement that a reporter asked just last week, Jalen, about going under center. How did you like? He said, I would like to do more of it. That don't sound like a guy that don't want to change and don't want to be under center. The man clearly stated, I don't know why the hell we're not playing that clip. I would like to do more of it. So if that's not telling you guys that it's not Jalen that's not comfortable there, and then Chris Sims said this,
He said that Nick Sirianni, when he was with Indianapolis, designed this offense, and it didn't look nothing like this, and it was everything was peaches and cream. Well, guess what, Chris? Nick Sirianni didn't design the Colts offense. Although he was the offensive coordinator, he did not even call plays in Indianapolis. Okay? So with all these lies that's being told, and y'all play this guy like he's the gospel. I don't know
gee, that's not true. What we started with today was Baldy yesterday on the afternoon show, and Baldy's quote was, they've been trying to get Jalen Hurts under center. So that sounded like what Chris Sims said last week, so we played the right. two of them together. You're right. Jalen did say something to that effect last week. We'll try to pull it up. But my question is, what do you think that means, trying to get him? Like, just call the play.
Here's what I think, Joe, and I want to be serious about this.
Okay.
I think we have to stop reading so much into these. I love Baldy, but just because Baldy said it, don't make it true. And maybe
what about what you say?
Maybe that's how Baldy feels about it. But if Jalen is saying he would like to do more of it, what the hell are we? And then Baldy says they've been trying to get him. There's a disconnect there.
Well, it's a he said, she said. I mean, everyone's saying the same opposite thing. So all I could go off of is what they do on the field. Last week, OG, right. they did it more than they have in a year. And I think right. they should do it more. Now we'll see if they do.
And I do too, and I think that we will do it more. But you got to also understand, you can't just take your offense and just say, okay, well, let's run under. No, it has to be a mixture of things.
Agreed.
You can't do one thing because teams will catch on to that. That's why most quarterbacks, not all, most quarterbacks would rather be in the shotgun because they're able to see the entire field. But going under center, it's risky there because you don't know what the hell you want to turn around to. So, I mean, yeah, it works for us watching the game, and big plays can come off of it. But you can get big plays in a lot of ways.
You can, you know, sure. Right. There's not one way. I mean, that's why there's all these different offenses. OG, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, you know what? Nothing is gospel, right? Like, I think we all do that on this show and all the shows, WIP. We have our opinions on what we hear and what we see. But when I start hearing the same thing from lots of different people, Hugh, it starts to become a theme, right? It starts to become a pattern of things, and you start to wonder where that's coming from. All I know is this. I saw it work on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could work more. I agree with what OG said at the end. Like, they're not going to go from a primary shotgun team to a primary under center team, right?
Yeah, but it puts a little bit more versatility in your offense.
Yes.
And the one thing that we've been dealing with the last couple of weeks, if you look at football like that, and a lot of you do, and I'm not, you know, trying to take any shots, but it's almost like prove it. It's almost like do it. And the last 7 weeks, even in the game that we played against Minnesota, the common theme has been, okay, beat us with your arm. And he's done it. And I'm willing to bet that it's even going to be that way this week against the Giants, because the Giants, they see it, but they don't believe it. And they can move the ball. They can score points. Our offense, when you look at the talent that we have, we have been really anemic. You know, we've been really anemic. So we are in a situation right now like this, Joe. We're going to have to throw the football every week to show people that we can throw it with some type of consistency. Now, it's gotten better. Like, when you look at the numbers from week to week, he's gotten better.
Last 3 weeks have been the best.
But he's going to have the thing that we're going to have to do this week, we're going to have to score a lot of points. I feel that in my spirit. I feel like this is probably going to be a 60-point game. It has the potential.
Oh, my Lord.
You know what I'm just saying?
What'd you just say?
Well, he means, like, combined.
Yeah, that's what I meant, Kyle. I meant both teams. At least 60 points. I feel like it has that, because you're talking about a young quarterback that just had a week where he put up 30 and lost.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat the brakes. I hate to bring it up, but it's a truism. They beat us up, and they put 30 on us. They feel like they can do that again.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they do. And if you look at the numbers, the offensive numbers since Dart got to the Giant, like started becoming their quarterback,
mm-hmm.
their offensive numbers are better than ours in that span right now. So I hear you, and we're probably going to have to score some points to win the game. Bottom line is that we should score more points than them. We should win this game without much trouble. We shall see as we get closer to Sunday. All right, we do have the cut. This is what OG Wade was referencing a few minutes ago.
Well, so there could be a missing point. I don't, at least when I just previewed it, I didn't hear the part that he said.
Okay, but
this was his response to being asked about being under center.
Okay.
You were under center for today, and you've been, I think, just at any point this season. Why, and what did that allow you to do?
Well, I kind of spoke towards it towards the beginning of the week when we had the time to catch up and kind of wanted to establish ourselves in the run game, establish ourselves in that fashion, and ultimately, you know, like Coach Sirianni said, this is what we felt was the best thing to do this week, and so we're happy to walk out of here with a victory, given the formula we had, and you know, obviously, I have some things that we need to clean up and can be better on, but I won't be able to kind of dive into that until I watch the tape.
All right, so maybe, you know, we're trying to unpack all this, right? Maybe that was him bending a little bit. He said he spoke to it earlier in the week, and I think he meant there is when they met, right? When the coaches and him met.
Mm-hmm.
And I add what Baldy said, where he said they've been trying to get him to do it. Maybe last week was the first time he said, all right, I'm ready to do some more of this.
But something's not adding up, because they didn't go into the week saying, let's go under center, let's establish the run game. Juergens got injured, then they started going under center because they had to.
Yeah, what we don't know is how much of that was in there anyway versus how much they just had to do it because Toth can't snap from under center. We'll see. I just know this. If something works and the quarterback is willing to do it, they should do it again. We shouldn't make this that hard. Derek is up next on WIP. What's up, Derek?
Yo, real quick, though. Like, when you saying, like, the under center thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in life in general, people have things that they're comfortable doing and not comfortable doing.
Totally,
right?
Yep.
If you've been playing quarterback, that's the hardest position to play in sports, right? If you're like OG Wade just said, when you're in the shotgun, you can see everything, right? So if he was a little like giving pushback on his comfortability going under center, like I don't have an issue with that. You understand what I'm saying? But the fact that they did it and they were successful doing it, I just feel like going forward, like the Eagles would be idiots if they don't do it because they did it 20 times. And like you said, they had success doing it, right?
Derek, I think you and I see it similarly. Like, I get
you
it. I get why they didn't. But now, like, you and I and the Eagles, we can't unsee that it worked. Like, that's now part of it. Yeah.
If you never watched football before, right, or you never watched Hurts play before up until Sunday, you wouldn't be able to tell that he was uncomfortable going under center because he looked real comfortable. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So I just feel like going forward, if they don't do it, I would be surprised. You know what I'm saying? Because he looked sharp, you know, faking the handoff. He looked comfortable with his reads, and he kind of looked better under center than he did out of the gun.
I agree.
For the first six games of the year. You understand what I'm saying?
He totally did. So we'll see where it goes from here. Go ahead.
Real quick, I missed some of it with the LeBron James and Damon Jones thing, man. I hope LeBron ain't ruining his legacy messing around with Damon Jones, man. But Chauncey Billups, he got bigger fish to fry because he involved with people that don't play no games, man. Like, he going to have to eat all that.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He's in big trouble.
There ain't no talking around that one, man. Yeah, he might end up swimming with the fishes if he start running his mouth.
Derek,
he
could.
He got to be real careful.
For sure. Derek, good phone call, man. So the NBA did put out a statement here. This is from NBA PR a few minutes ago. Quote, we are in the process of reviewing federal indictments announced today. Terry Rozier and Chauncey Billups are being placed on immediate leave from the teams and will continue to cooperate with the relevant authorities. We take these allegations with the utmost seriousness, and the integrity of our game remains our top priority. One quick thing. We got Ross Tucker coming up. We'll get to everyone's phone calls. I think Kyle mentioned earlier there was some sort of connection being made. Damon Jones to LeBron, right? Damon Jones may have used inside information about LeBron an injury to inform some sort of gambling thing. You know, when I heard that, like, there's no LeBron. If LeBron has a personal relationship, which he does, ex-teammate of Damon Jones, and Damon texts him in the morning, how you feel, man? I know you rolled your ankle last night.
Yeah.
LeBron texting his friend.
Yeah, that's not as egregious.
No, and if I'm just making this up, but like if he texts his friend Damon back, who's a coach with the Cavs, says, I don't know, man, it's sore. I don't know. We'll see if I go tonight. Like, LeBron didn't do anything wrong if that's the case. Now, Damon Jones taking information and using it for whatever he now that's where the problem comes
in. And if you're throwing LeBron under the bus by mentioning his name, what type of friend are you?
Oh yeah, this is a
mess.
Yeah,
LeBron told me he was hurt. I would have probably left that one out.
You probably should. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, your phone calls on all these topics. Did last night make you feel differently about the Sixers? It did for me. The NBA gambling rings with the mafia. I mean, this thing is a mess. The more information we get, we'll pass it along. And, of course, the Eagles. Do you expect more under center out of the offense on Sunday? I do. Hugh does not. Your calls, and we'll talk to Ross Tucker on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Jared Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Little Thursday Night Football song there. Amazon tonight with the Vikings and the Los Angeles Chargers. On the radio side of that call tonight, our guy Ross Tucker, who joins us now, talks some NFL as we head towards Week 8. Ross, how you doing today?
Ross.
I am fantastic. Good morning afternoon for you guys from Los Angeles. And I think I've done almost every Thursday night game this year. So, yeah, we got Carson Wentz, our old friend, again, and the Vikings against the Chargers. Huge game for both these teams.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one tonight to kick off Week 8 in the NFL. Ross, we're looking forward to Eagles-Giants on Sunday, but also looking back at what happened last week with the Eagles and the Vikings. Ross, one thing we've been debating today is whether or not we're going to see more of what worked for the Eagles on Sunday, which was Jalen Hurts under center, specifically the under center play action. He was 4-for-4 on that. That was the big bomb to DeVonta Smith. Ross, what did you think of how they did that on Sunday and adjusted their offense? And then, second part, do you think we're going to see more of that moving forward?
Well, I thought it was awesome. I mean, obviously, everything I thought that Hurts did was incredible, and I thought Petullo really called a really good game and deserves a bunch of credit for the design and the scheme around it. You know, the thing that people don't realize, any play action is good, but the under center play action, there's just a bigger menu of options. There aren't that many play action passes out of the gun because there aren't that many runs. The other thing is the whole advantage, guys, of doing the play action is that you force the D-line and the linebackers and to some extent the safeties to at least read run or play run for a split second. If you do it from gun, it's like a really quick, you know, half-hearted put the ball in the running back's belly and then throw it. If you do it from under center, you don't even know if he's given the ball to the running back or not for like a full second, right? Because he's under center. He has to get back from center. Saquon goes left or right. He goes over there, puts the ball in the belly, whatever, fakes it. So it forces the defense to play run for at least half a second longer, which is so valuable for the offensive line because at that point they're on the D lineman. They got him, and there aren't very many D linemen that are able to transition rush to get pressure at that point, which is one reason why Hurts had so much time. And to answer your question, it would be ludicrous to not use it this much or to not continue to use it. I would have no understanding why it wouldn't continue to be a pretty big part of what they've done. I think they might have been under center maybe 15 times or something on Sunday, which is way more than they had been the rest of the year. And it worked. The thing is, it seems like it works for almost everybody.
Yeah, and to piggyback on what you're saying, Ross, if say, for instance, as a defensive line, if I get the jump on you and I have to take that beat to run a pass, it gives you a chance to recover. I mean, that's the biggest thing. It gives you a chance to recover and get back in your pass blocking or whatever it is, run blocking, and allows me not to make a play. That's basically what it does.
Well, listen, here's the reality. I was not good in obvious passing situations, one-on-one pass protection. I have short arms. I struggled. I loved play action because I would just sell the crap out of the run, and it looked like a run. And so the defensive lineman thought he was doing a decent job against the run. By the time he figured it out, I was on him. It was over. I was on him, and he was not going to be able to get pressure after that.
Ross Tucker with us here as we get ready for Eagles-Giants on Sunday. Ross, Brandon Graham returning to the Eagles, which all those rumors started to come out when we were doing the pregame show Sunday, and then, you know, by Tuesday it all became official. Ross, what's your expectation for BG? And I realize, you know, I had a camp and he's just getting back here, but I look at it as if he could be what he was last year, that's a pretty big addition for the Eagles as they go towards the trade deadline and down the stretch of the season. What's your expectation for what they might get out of BG the second half of the season?
Well, first of all, you know, they essentially are giving him $5 million. Now, it's prorated for half the season, but that's a real number. You know, that's not like, hey, let's give this guy the minimum 1.5 or whatever. This is a real number, and I can guarantee you it's more money than Brandon was making doing the media stuff. So good for him for half the season. That's amazing. I think two things. I really believe on some level, and I'd love if they were taking truth serum, and Sirianni would never admit to this, I would love to know what percentage of this is what BG brings to the locker room, to the D-line meeting room. I'm talking about his personality, his energy, you know, the trash talking, everything that he brings to the table. I really do believe that that's a significant part of this, because they're going to get Nolan Smith back soon. They still might make a move at the trade deadline for another edge guy. I don't know if I really expect Brandon to play more than 20 snaps in a game. What I like about it, though, for a guy like him, is he's kind of like Hugh was, in the sense that neither guy was ever really like a speed rusher. Hugh more so than BG. Or like a bendy guy. When I think about Hugh, when I think about BG, I think about power rushers. They came with physicality. They have explosive, powerful lower bodies. They came with their hands. So even if BG, quote unquote, lost a step or maybe isn't quite as agile, he's a power rusher anyway. He's coming to bring the physicality and attack that offensive lineman, which I really like. And I think they need with the other guys they have.
I agree on that, and I think he's going to help here. And Ross, I would say it's probably maybe close to 50-50 if I had a guess on that split. And I think what he could bring on the field is obviously they need, but also the locker room stuff. Ross, as we go towards the trade deadline, which is just about a week and a half away, not this coming Tuesday, but the following one, Ross, when you look at the Eagles right now and how he's already made a good number of moves since training camp started, trading a bunch of picks for offensive depth pieces, but when you look at them right now, if you're Howie, if you could add one thing of significance, what would you add to this team?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is a corner. And I'll tell you why. I know a lot of people are saying edge, okay? They just signed Brandon Graham. They're going to get Nolan Smith back. And because of the way N'Kobe Dean played, as an off-the-ball backer, they're going to be able to put Campbell out there on the edge more. And I think he's going to end up making an impact with more edge snaps and end up being an effective player there. So they essentially, over the next couple weeks, are adding, in my mind, three edge guys, the Hunt and Ojulari and Uche or whatever. You know, so I think that's enough. I think that the bigger issue is, they're going to continue to pick on the corner opposite Quinyon Mitchell. I know Cooper's been playing outside a little bit more, but that would be, and also Makuba has kind of been up and down, so there's a chance they would even want to put Cooper at safety in base more. I really think if they could get what they feel like is an upgrade at corner, that would be more pressing than edge rusher, because they got a bunch of guys at edge rusher, new guys, or guys coming back from injury in the mix. At corner, we've seen both Adoree and Ringo can be liabilities at times, and that's who these teams are going to pick on in the playoffs.
Ross, last one for you. Ross Tucker with us here. He's going to be on the call tonight. Westwood One Thursday Night Football. Ross, I keep looking at the NFC standings, and we think the Eagles are in a pretty good place now. They got off the losing streak, and they won, and the NFC East, maybe not quite with we thought the Commanders were going to be because they have injuries. So that feels good moving forward. But, Ross, I look at the NFC. It feels like it's a lot of good teams right now, and it feels to me like we could be headed for a conference where there's not much separation from the teams fighting for the one seed all the way down to six or seven. Now, how do you view the NFC? Because it feels to me like there's a bunch of teams headed towards about, you know, between 10 and 12 wins here.
Joe, how old are your kids, quick?
They are 10 and 8.
Was that a 6-7 reference? Can I go 6-7?
You know, they say it, and I just roll my eyes every time it is said in the house now. Every time.
Oh. Guess what? Guess what? I'm the opposite. I say it anytime I can. I'm going all in to try to single-handedly make it not cool anymore. Because if your dad is saying it every chance he gets,
it stops being cool.
At some point, you're a 12- and 13-year-old. My daughters, they're going to be like, okay, it's not cool anymore. Dad says it all the time. that's my goal. To your point, though, there are, right now, I think five, maybe six teams in the NFC that if they made the Super Bowl, that would not shock me. The Packers are good enough to go to the Super Bowl. The Eagles, certainly. I think the Bucks are, if they can get these guys healthy towards the end of the year. The Lions, certainly. The Rams, certainly. I don't think people realize, Joe, to your point, how good the Seahawks are. They are legitimately good, and I'm not even putting the Niners in there because I think losing Nick Bosa and Fred Warner is too much to overcome, but it's a very different conference this year. There's usually like two or three teams that you think are at the top and then maybe a couple that can get to the divisional round or maybe, but they're not going to the Super Bowl, and then a couple that you don't think they're going to win a playoff game. You are exactly right. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. There are seven teams in the NFC that it would not shock me if they went to the Super Bowl. I think the Niners the least likely because they lost two of maybe the 10 best defensive players in the sport.
Yeah, it's the conference is wild. It's going to be a wild NFC playoffs, and the Eagles need their positioning to get there and be in good spot. Ross, we appreciate it. Have a good call tonight. We'll be listening, and we'll catch up next week.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Show to camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker there. On the way you frame the NFC, Hugh, that it's going to be a gauntlet to get to the Super Bowl this year. Just like there's not, I don't view it as there's going to be any like make believe playoff teams. They're all going to be good.
No, it's going to be tough, man. Because when you look at that West Division, they all got the same record,
5-2.
Yeah, they all got the same record. So you type like, damn. So it's safe to say that at least two, maybe three.
I think all three are going to make it. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So then, like, what do you have for everybody else? So it's one of those things where
they could beat each other up.
They could.
Well, they can't. Yeah, it's still a lot of football left to be played.
Or they could all beat up on the Cardinals and all make it.
That's true.
Yeah.
Marathon, not a sprint, Hugh.
It is.
Hugh knows that. Let's go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Terrence!
Hugh Joe Kawaza!
Terrence, what's up, buddy?
Guys, you guys saw my man VJ last night. I was telling Kyle, this kid is explosive. He got 34 points, man. That's impressive to me. And I told my brother last night, in a couple years, VJ and Maxi is going to be the top backcourt in the league. I don't know if this year, but give them a year or two, these guys are going to be the best backcourt in the NBA, the whole NBA.
Well, if they are, like Terrence, because I think McCain could play too. If they are and McCain is like a sixth man or like the third guard, we're going to have a lot of fun watching this team over the next few years if that happens.
Yeah, man, but holding us back right now, I heard a couple calls ago. Joel Embiid, man, Mr. Glass. Like, I feel like losing that weight really killed this guy. Losing that weight might have took from this guy's game. You know what I mean? He looks like Mr. Glass. And we're going to go to Paul George. This guy's stealing money. What, he played 10 games last year? He didn't play all summer. And you don't start the beginning of the season? You didn't play the whole – you didn't do nothing the whole summer. What could possibly be wrong with you, bro? What's wrong with you?
Let me ask you guys a question. If they told Paul George just to go home for the season and we'll give you your checks but don't show up anymore, would anyone be upset? Would anyone care?
No, I wouldn't. He's stealing money, Joe. And I would package him, Paul George and Joel Embiid. I would package these guys in a deal and get them the hell out of here.
I'd love that, Terrence. But you got to match salaries, though, in NBA trades. I mean, you'd have to take back like $100 million in salary to get them out of here.
And I also heard, guys, we might have to, you know, we always get on Daryl Morey, man, for the dumb moves he make. But he might have hit with VJ, man. This guy's a dog. This guy, he's still playing like he don't got a generator in his house no more. He's still balling like he's hungry. You can see the hunger in his game.
I love it.
Yeah,
you're right. He does have a youthful hunger to his game. Like, I got to prove myself. Yep.
And, Joe, Jalen Hurts, they have to keep going on the center. Because I heard Ross say earlier, when you go on the center, you cannot see whether the quarterback's handing the ball off or he's keeping the ball a lot of time. That play action really messes up the linebackers, man, and the defense tackles. We have to stay under that. I don't care if Jalen Hurts don't like it. It works. And when something works, you don't go away from it. If it ain't broke, you don't try to fix it. That's the saying. And they got to keep doing this, man. There's too much friction right now. We still got AJ putting out these cryptic posts. Guys, you're a championship team. Act like it. Act like you've been there before, guys. Keep this going and keep this momentum going. And let's not mess it up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I mean, it'd be foolish not to go under center this weekend. Terrence, appreciate the phone. It'd be foolish. I mean, Ross kind of laid it out there. And he the way he was describing it, you could see why every team that does it gets an advantage over it. You know, doing the play action under center. When you look at statistics on throwing the ball from play action under center, they're usually way better than throwing when you're not play action.
Yeah, because it freezes the defense. Yeah. And you know, we played against some pretty stout defenses. That's why I said I would be surprised. Now, we would benefit tremendously from that this week, playing against the Giants, because they kind of got after us a little bit.
Well, and like you're saying, you could freeze their defensive line, make them have to hold
a
second.
Let me tell you, and I always go to this example, is the Peyton Manning one and Edgerrin James. When that little action, because when he drops back and as I display it.
Well, you're on YouTube.
YouTube.
Show the people.
He drops back and you got to respect that action, because as the defensive lineman, you're watching the ball. Mm-hmm. To see if he tucks it in his belly or not. So you're sitting there on this block, and you might have an offensive lineman beat, but you got to wait and see if it's a run play, because if you're up the field and it's a run play and you're out of position, he's off to the races. So you got to wait there, and then that's when the offensive lineman gets to reset and put his hands on you. So,
I got to tell you, I think we need to get a blackboard behind you.
I was thinking the same thing.
Chalk.
Oh, that'd be fun. I could draw like little pictures.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
That's where we can put the 0 days without HR.
You know what? Why don't we just do it on the beautiful board you have behind you, and that'll be the next time you get called in by the office.
Yeah,
Hugh, you ruined this.
Days without incident.
I think if we got a blackboard, days without incident in the corner, just chilling there behind you every day.
Dave's not being called into HR.
You remember the old
Zero.
School ones where they used to roll them in the chalkboard?
Yeah,
we did one of those.
So wait,
look on the Googly.
I think
see
it was
got the chalkboard.
Last week's Broads and what's it called? Flyers and 60.
Oh yeah, he does. 50, whatever, he's got a little whiteboard.
He has a whiteboard. Yeah. So I mean, if Broads could do it on his segment on the afternoon
Hugh needs
show,
Hugh needs a chalkboard for sure.
Yeah, we need a chalkboard. But there I might need to get a whiteboard though because. I'm already dark.
That's,
you know what I mean? I'm already
true.
Dark. So
that is true.
Yeah. I don't need no more. All I see is teeth and gray hairs, Joe.
It's probably best that you said it that way. That was your idea.
I'll probably do that.
Okay, we'll get you one of those. All right. It also makes me think. Remember the, what was the show? Around the Horn? They just stopped that show recently. ESPN Around the Horn?
They did?
Yeah, I think like 4 months ago. But Woody Page used to be one of the... He used to have the whiteboard behind him.
Yeah, we got
to
get a whiteboard.
And he used to like write a message of the day. We could also have Hugh write like his message of the day on the board behind him.
We might as well lean into this You People thing.
Lean fully into it. People can see what
you're doing. After you give the Daily Douglas, we write it up on the board like it's an inspirational quote every day.
Yes.
This is great.
Yeah.
I'm
shocked it took us this long to think about this.
I agree.
All it took is Hugh turning around and pretending to hand the ball off. And the idea was born. Mark in Boston is up on WIP. Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Mark. What's up?
I think it's pretty clear based on the Hurts response that it was super general. It didn't even answer the question. He never answers the questions. They're just saying like buzzwords that don't really get to the bottom of what the reporter's asking. So I don't know what the previous caller was saying, but essentially, it made no sense. But anyway, I think what Chris Sims said and Baldy said are dead on. Here's what I really think is happening. I think what the coaches want Hurts to do, they don't trust that he can do. And the receivers, there's three different, the coaches know they have the personnel to do certain things, but they also know they don't trust Hurts' skill set to be able to do what that entails. So they're stuck. And that's what I think is really happening.
I think it's more, not. I know you're long talking a little bit, and I ain't mean to cut you off, but I think it's more, he's stubborn. It's not that he can't do it because he's done it. He did it last week. It's more stubborn.
But didn't they do it not because that was the game plan, but because they had to?
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
It seemed like that was at least part of it. So, Mark, we were not in their meeting, so I don't know how much they had planned versus how much they actually did on the field. But if I had to guess, they probably were going to do some, and then maybe when they had to switch the centers, they leaned into it a little bit more, and it worked.
But then my question is, why would it take this long if you look around the league and look at pure throwers and how they execute the play action? That's why their numbers are lit up, like 4,500 yards, 32 touchdowns.
Play action, in my time watching football, seems like it makes great quarterbacks elite. It makes good quarterbacks great. It makes average ones look really good. Kyle Shanahan has been making quarterbacks look better with play action throws for 15 years now.
Yeah, because it confuses everything.
Yeah.
Hurts. Has enough arm strength. The problem with Hurts is he just doesn't process quickly and he doesn't get rid of the ball quickly enough, like anticipation throws. And that's where the disconnect is, where it's like, if he could do that, he would be mentioned with like all these pure throwers and all these elite throwers.
I agree with you. And the offense would look even better. Like if he, because we all see it, like he holds the ball a lot. Sometimes he waits till the guy comes fully open. Yeah. And I think you're probably right. And that's why the receivers get frustrated, because they know on their route, and Mark, we appreciate it, they know on their route, Hugh, the moment the ball should come out, right? Yeah. The way it's designed when they get to the top of their break. And then it doesn't always get there, and then you could see, obviously, AJ leads the charge, but you can see the frustration.
Yeah,
I mean,
there's probably something to that. I don't know, because, you know, we've talked about all year how Jalen tends to hold the ball quite a bit. I just remember playing in the era, man, with Dan Marino. He used to get mad.
Boom.
When cats wouldn't be, he would throw to a spot, and if you weren't there, you got cussed out on the field.
You know, as you say that, I used to think when I looked at quarterbacks how often they got sacked, the quarterback that gets sacked a lot must have a bad offensive line. But Dan Marino, when I looked at his sack numbers in his career, he never got sacked.
Man,
but he might have been the slowest quarterback you'll ever see.
But he had the quickest release.
That's it. He got rid of the ball.
Like, Joe, again, one of my fondest memories, even though we got our ass kicked, was my first game in the NFL. I had the absolute best seat in the house. to watch Dan Marino.
Best seat in the house.
That's those Jets teams for you.
No, dude.
They're like, I was just lucky to be there.
Unlike VJ Edgecombe, my first game in the NFL, I didn't light it up. I was just like, damn, who is this guy? I have never been on the field with somebody who got the ball out as quickly as he did.
You know, you really did have a great seat in the house for Marino, Barry Sanders, when he ran all up and down the field on you guys.
I had the
You got to see some greats
seat.
Kick your
That's
ass,
That's why
man.
When people talk about I wasn't this, that, or third, I'm like, fool, I had some of the best seats that you could ever have for any sporting event that you could ever talk about.
Dolphins 52, Jets 14.
Joe, he was out there, and I forgot the receivers right, but he – You talk about a field general.
Irving Fryer was one of the guys.
But you talk about a field general.
Yep.
What the I told you to run this route. He would come to the line of scrimmage, right? Mm-hmm. And he would call out what the receiver is supposed to run at the line. This is the max protection. You run the go route, you run this route, you run a slant. Ready? Break. And be like, "Damn, blue 52, hut." Boom. And I was sitting back like, "Is it going to be like this every week?" Is it going to be like this every week?
In terms of wins and losses, kind of was for you.
Man.
Yeah, kind of
no,
was.
No, I'm just saying, I've only seen a few quarterbacks do that where you're actually on the field and you watch them work, and it's like, damn, this cat right here is no joke.
Don't get too comfortable. Speaking of damn, you got to dig deep in the box score to find one Hugh Douglas tackle this day. You were quiet. 215-592-9494.
It was my first day on the job.
215-592-9494. All right, we got a lot to get to in the 1 o'clock hour. Your phone call, something historic happened to a WIP host yesterday. We'll get to that, you people. Plus, surprise, surprise, Jalen Hurts was asked about A.J. Brown's social media activity yesterday. His response next, Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. And let's talk about FanDuel, my friends over there. Every Thursday, of course, we got a football game. Your chance at the jackpot on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Because with FanDuel's Thursday touchdown jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million of bonus bets each week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to take a shot at the jackpot. FanDuel.com/GIGLIO for your chance to win a share of $2 million of bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94 WIP.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Show to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.